Welcome to the Secrets to Mindful Health, where we explore the hidden truths of wellness in all its forms. From physical and mental health to spirituality, join me, your host, Beth Warren, at Nourished by Beth on Instagram and TikTok, registered dietitian for over a decade and single mom of six, as I share my personal journey overcoming challenges towards self-love and wellness. Together with my guests, we will inspire and motivate you to prioritize your well-being and create a life of balance and fulfillment. Let's embark on a transformative journey towards a healthier, happier you. I'm glad you're here.
In this captivating episode of Astrology Unlocked, a Jewish perspective on personal transformation, we welcome Yitzchak Aharon Pinkus, a renowned astrologer and the author of Kosher Astrology, a Jewish Guide to Celestial Wisdom. With over 15 years of experience utilizing a Torah-based method of astrology, Yitzchak shares his profound insights into how the stars can illuminate our paths to personal transformation. Join us as we explore the intersection of Jewish philosophy, psychology, and astrology, and discover how understanding astrological influences can empower our journeys towards authenticity and fulfillment. Get ready for an enlightening discussion that redefines astrology's role in spiritual growth. Yitzchak Aharon Pinkus is a professional astrologer and the author of Kosher Astrology, a Jewish Guide to Celestial Wisdom. He has been working with the Torah-based method of astrology for over 15 years. His fascination with personal transformation led to extensive research in Jewish philosophy, psychology, and astrology. He's on Instagram at Kosher Astro. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
I was so excited. I think the algorithm connected you to me, aka God, but like the algorithm.
The ultimate algorithm.
Right. It's so funny, those things, like ways we trust, you know, which directions to go. And we blindly, you know, I feel like connected to you through an algorithm, not God, right? Or those are God's messengers. But that, you know, I'm even skipping ahead, getting all into this deep talk, but I would love to hear how you got into this line. And you were very clear to say Torah-based values. Where did that all start from?
Okay, so like most things in life, you know, when we're ready for something, God sends it sends it into our life. So just one day, this is 16 years ago, back in 2008, 2009, you know, I was driving with my friend in the car, and my friend had just, we just celebrated another friend's engagement. So on the drive home, you know, my friend had mentioned to me that he knew an astrologer, a religious astrologer. And I was like, okay, I'm a Gemini. I'm curious. Let's find out what is that all about? For some reason, I have no idea why did I decide in that moment to do that. No idea. That's God sending us, you know, these messages. So we called up the astrologer, and we gave her our birth dates, and the astrologer started going, wow, we're talking about my birth date. Wow, you have a lot of the energy, the element of ear. And ear is intellectual and ideas. And she says, yes, are you a rabbi? Are you a Talmud Chacham? Are you a professor? Are you a writer? Okay, I'm not a rabbi and professor. All those like, whoa, but I do enjoy writing and studying. It spoke to me. It like connected with me. Mm-hmm. And she described my friend as a lot more earth, much more grounded, more materialistic, more down to earth, more concrete. My friend agreed, you know, agreed with her. And so it just struck me, had she switched it, said that I was an earth, which didn't fit me at all, and my friend was here, it wouldn't have fit. So that caught my eye. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Is there something to this? Mm-hmm. And that started my journey. And after that, I started buying books on astrology, and I really started diving deep into it. But that was the beginning of my journey, just on a lark. Mm-hmm. So God directs us in the right direction where we need to go at the right time.
Yeah, and then I wonder then how you took your values of Torah and Judaism and then connected the two, because, I mean, I didn't even mention this. I just want everyone to know that we're just meeting now. It's always how I like my podcasts to happen, is very organic. So I actually also got very into astrology. It's interesting, pretty deep into, I would call my focus or path of self-work, forget about what I try to teach others in my line of work and how I became more wellness oriented as a platform to different various areas that touch us. It's just interesting that God brought astrology to me at this point of my journey, which someone, a spiritual person, called me at PhD level, which I appreciated because, you know, you always get frustrated at that you still have more work to do, but that is the essence of why we're here. And she's like, no, don't worry. You're like PhD level. So it's at that PhD level that I got exposed to astrology and fascinated. And it has I mean, again, I'm skipping in his head. It has come ahead, but it's come full circle to making me feel so much self-love and compassion and acceptance in myself. And I'm sort of like, God, why didn't you show me this 5 years ago when I didn't feel that? And I just needed to just know that, oh, quote unquote, I'm normal, or these are actually my gifts. You know, this is, and all I need to learn is how to balance that. And so I have a whole journey in that. And so I got, and this is why I'm curious for you with the same question about the Torah values. I didn't know there, all these years, I thought there was something wrong with me, which is its own thing, or why am I not connecting, or why do I have questions? Why do I need to? And then I learned about this, and then I found this whole world. So for me, I call it, and I don't know the right terms, Kabbalistic astrology, and then therefore found the course in it that I'm taking now, only level one. There's apparently like 15. So I'm just getting right now, I call it more exposed, you know, and educated and all the layers. And it's like a lot of information. And it, but it, all the information is like, I'm loving everything. I'm like it's, it just makes you feel alive.
Yes. Okay. So what your experience drives me crazy. I've been doing chart readings for people, and it drives me crazy that people have no clue how amazing they are, their capabilities, even their struggles, the stuff that mm-hmm. they saw that they were wrong or bad, or, you know, it was their fault. Or the, no, there's a process. There's a stuff that you have challenges in. It's designed for you to grow. People can't believe how amazing and there's a chart, a map, the moment you're born that tells you how amazing you are mm-hmm. and exactly what your purpose is and what you're here to do and the greatness of people. It drives me crazy. People can't believe, what do you mean? I'm meant to be something great? I'm meant to do something amazing in this world? That can't be. Somebody else, not me. And, you know, I always compare it to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, who, you know, Hashem picked him to lead the Jewish people. What was his first response? Ania Rals Fasim, I can't, I stutter. I can't do me for, pick my brother, he's a great guy. Pick him. Don't pick me. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Mm-hmm. We all have this. Every one of us have stuff that we think we're not good enough. We're not great enough. We can do. We can manage. We can, but not us. To be up there and to be helping hundreds and thousands of people, or to do something amazing in a field, that's not me. That's somebody else. I'm just an average guy. No, your charts clearly lay out that pathway for you and that process for you. And so absolutely, it drives me crazy that it should be mandatory by law, if it was up to me, that every person needs to know their birth chart from there when they're a child. It
absolutely.
Needs to be taught in schools.
Yeah, you know? I need to tell you this like quick example, more as an intro. We don't have to get into this yet because I still want to hear the align with the Torah values. I feel like it's a very integral point and huge misconception. But I started to consult at a clinic that I feel is so rewarding. I've been in private practice 15 years, and I, you know, you always look for a shift, and I don't know, maybe it's a turning 40 shift, whatever it is. So this guy I'm working with is really negative, has a lot of emotions, but he's diagnosed with bipolar. But every time I speak to him, I get to know him more because it's just things come out in the sessions, and so much there. And finally this session, I think it's six times I spoke, I'm like, when's your birthday? And he's like, July 13th. I was like, you're a Cancer. Like, you just have to learn how to balance your emotions. Like, you know, I don't even need to know more because it's not my business. It's not why he's there. But I just automatically resonated with how lost he feels in his emotions, and then having, because a lot of what comes through him is there's so much wrong with him, like how self-hating he is on himself, also because of what's reflected back on him, right? It's like a double-edged thing, the way we feel about ourselves, that's who we're attracting, the way it did it. But his family, you know, doesn't know how to deal with him, doesn't invite him to Passover, and the thing, and he hates himself, and he thinks he's terrible, and he's never going to get married. And I'm like, oh, if you just knew how special, you know, your emotions are, and that you just, if once you honor and accept them, then you could balance them a bit. So I'm not talking diagnosis and all that, but there's just so much there to help you not come from that place of I hate myself.
For sure. And not only that, I can see that directly in the chart. It pains me when I see it. If you have Saturn is about discipline and restrictions. So that's great. That's how we work hard. That's how we gain authority. But if it's connected to your moon, to your emotions, That's such a tough one. Think about that. Discipline and restrictions connected to your emotions. So you might have grown up not feeling emotionally supported, that you're all alone in this world, or that it's somehow your fault. And Saturn is that tough voice. It gets stuck in our head. You're not good enough. You need to work hard to prove yourself. Or if it's connected to Venus, Venus is how we value ourselves. And if you have Chiron, which is the wounded healer connected to Venus, that's a wounding on my self-value. And people don't believe in themselves. That is the biggest issue that I see. The biggest block in people's lives is not you think, oh, this person is my life, or I don't have enough money, or I didn't find the right. No. The biggest block in our lives is in our own head. You know, I love it. There was like a meme of an elephant, you know, with a chain on its foot, and it's stuck there. Okay, it's chained. It can't go anywhere. A big chain. But the other side of it is connected to a folding chair. And I feel like that's where we are. We have these blocks and limits in our head, and it's our own voice. And once I point it out in the chart, I'm saying, this is what you were born with. This is your journey. This is to work through that struggle, that negative voice. And when you start hearing that negative voice, understand it's not you. Don't listen to it. You have to counter it. You have to fight it. You were created to do something incredible in this world. And I go through the chart. You can see what it is. And like, it just opens people's eyes. And just, but yes, people sometimes are so stuck, but it's our own negative voices. And so there's a process. And so astrology is so helpful. I feel like God gave us a cheat sheet to understand life, to understand our own process, where we are at and what we're here to do. Every person is a tree. We were designed to grow into a full tree. We start out as a sapling, and we're designed to grow into a full tree that produces apples, and we get stuck along the way. As long if we get out of our own way, if we get out of our own blocks, we're gonna blossom, we're gonna fly.
Right. And you're saying it's like a roadmap for that.
Yes. Yes. It shows us our struggles. It shows, once we see that, oh, wait, this is not something wrong with me. I'm exactly the way God designed me.
Then you start to see the design in essence, like you see that there is a design, or you understand there is.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All of a sudden the world is not random. Mm-hmm. These things are not, even my struggles, even my suffering, it's not random. It's all part of building me into who I need to be. The greatest people in the world went through the toughest stuff. I compare it to Olympic athletes. You know, you don't become an Olympic athlete without doing incredible training and going through really tough stuff, but then you can shine, and then you're firing on all cylinders.
Right.
It's all there in the chart.
It's there. And I find it interesting with people who might call them, let's say, agnostic or something, or need tangible something. I don't want to call it proof because I don't know what proof is, but like tangible something. A chart is tangible. Technically, it's tangible. It's mappable. It's, you know. Yes.
And it's very specific to you. You'll see the specific information about your life there.
Yeah.
There's no trickery. There's nobody. I try to teach people how to read their own chart. Look at the pieces of the chart so you can see it yourself. I'm a big believer. I don't trust authority. I'm a big believer. I need to see it for myself. I need to study it for myself. So I encourage everybody to do that.
What else is in your chart then, other than Gemini?
Oh boy, I got a lot of stuff in my chart.
So let's go take a step back a second and explain how you reconcile it with Torah-based values and maybe the misconceptions associated with that I was taught when I was in fourth grade about, you know, this whole world.
So basically I took my book and I broke it into three sections. Mm-hmm. And the first section really breaks down because there's so many confusing messages that astrology is not kosher, or that we're above the mazel. The Jews are above the mazel. It's not for us. This is, you know, so there are mixed messages about that. So in the first section of the book, I really break down, what does it mean? What is astrology? What is the forbidden forms of astrology? It's like animals. Some animals are kosher. Some animals are not kosher. So it's the same thing with astrology. There were forms of astrology which were basically idol worship. They used to worship the planets, and that's forbidden. It's straight out. They used to do sorcery combined, and they would use astrology and they would do sorcery to the planet. And then they would say, like, bury this statue under your competitor's store or something, and then they'll go out of business. They used it to damage other people or to benefit themselves. And that's forbidden. It's a sorcery, idol worship form of astrology.
Right.
Then there's another form of astrology called astromancy that is, people believed was very fatalistic, that if you were born with the energy of Mars, that you're destined to be a murdering bandit. Like, you don't have choice. It removes free will. That's why the Rambam, Maimonides, was so against astrology. But he wasn't against kosher astrology. He was against the forbidden forms of astrology, because he explains that every single time when he wrote in multiple places against astrology, every time he brings an example of somebody who has removed the free will, that Reuven is in the profession of a perfumer, which is considered a high profession, and Shimon is in the profession of being a tanner with working with animals, which was considered a low profession, and they have no choice. And Rambam says, that's not possible. We have choice. We have free will. And of course, he's right. So the negative voices in Judaism against astrology was talking about either the idol-worshipping sorcery form or the fatalistic, deterministic form of astrology. But once you get to kosher astrology, all the Rishonim and Achronim, all our great leaders, all our great Svarim, they all talk about astrology, that God directs the world through astrology. Almost all across the board say this.
Yeah. And I also find it interesting because I do get these random letters home from school from the kids. Today's a great day to say this prayer, right? So there's elements that feel people don't even realize is tapping into like the energy of the month or the day. And this is a great day and this is a great month. And I guess that's also a point, is to say it goes beyond our own lives and the energy of just the month and the intentions of the month. And that's when I started out. So everyone knows when Yitzchak came on and I said, oh, we're meant to speak today, you know, or we're meant to meet in this month. And then he's like, wait, hold on that. So now we're going to get back to it about thing about the months. You
right.
Know?
So there's a couple of different things happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's complicated. The different pieces and parts, which is, it's incredible and brilliant. Mm-hmm. So first there's a birth chart, right? So that's a static thing from the moment you're born that has all the planets and your personality, your configuration. That's the same your whole life. That's one step. Then there's different things that happen. It's called the transit chart. At different points in your life, right now, the planets in the sky are connecting to the planets in your birth chart, which means there's energy that's currently influencing you in a very particular way. So for example, if you have the energy of Uranus connecting to you right now, Uranus is about individuation, it's a bit independence, authenticity. This is a time when you are more likely to speak your mind and be true to yourself. You know, you might have different opinions and thoughts, but you're keeping it quiet because people will criticize it. You'll be canceled. People will say, whoa, you believe that? You know, you're going to get pushback. Mm-hmm. When Uranus comes in, it's like, no, I got to speak my truth. So that helps us. In order to grow, you have to be able to speak your truth. So there will come once every 22 years, the energy of Uranus will come into your life for like 9 months to a year. And by the way, people around you are not going to recognize you because all of a sudden you're saying and doing stuff and not being yourself and like, you know, stepping out of the mold that people put you in, that people expect you to be in order for you to grow. And that's just one planet. So every time there's a different planet connecting with you, and it's just, it's incredible to see that's when the growth happens. So it happens to be to right now today, the planet Jupiter is exactly on my sun. So Jupiter is about enthusiasm and excitement. And just, so today,
you got it's a great day for you to be on a podcast.
I'm shooting fire on all cylinders because Jupiter is enthusiastic and fire connecting to my sun, to my core essence, to my identity.
So which is Gemini.
Yeah, which is in Gemini, yes. Yeah. But I also have Cancer energy. And that's the thing. We have more than one zodiac.
Yes.
And it's so important to understand that.
Yeah.
So that's why some people, like, they feel connected to the zodiac sign they know. And other people, like, wait, I'm not. Because they might have three other or four other in a different sign, like their moon, their emotions, their Mercury, communication and thinking might be in a different sign. It might dominate their sun sign, mm-hmm. might dominate from the month that they're born, that zodiac sign.
Yeah.
So you have to look at all of them, and we all might have conflicting ones. So for example, Gemini and Cancer, right? So Gemini is ideas and concepts and social, right? And intellect, right? And it's not an emotional, sign. That's not its strength. But I also have a lot of Cancer, which is about nurturing and feelings and being compassionate for people. So these are two very different energies that I had to learn. Sometimes they were competing with each other. Sometimes mm-hmm. they were conflicting. I want to do this and all that. But you learn to use them together. So now when I do chart readings, so I use my Gemini energy of like having all the information, the intellectual part, the social part, but also I'm dealing with human beings who are struggling, who are going through painful things. And so I use my Cancer part. So I'm bringing them together, even though they're very different energies, I'm utilizing them both together to serve my purpose. And that's what we're here to do.
Right. Do you also feel that sometimes you lean into more than others? Like, so I'll tell you a little of mine. I don't even know all the levels. We're going to talk later about, like, or I'll hire you and you're going to read my whole chart. I love hearing how people read my chart. But all I know from it is that, and I didn't know this, and I wanted to touch on the difference between Gregorian calendar and a Hebrew calendar. I always called myself a Leo, but my birthday is July 27th. So on the Hebrew calendar, I'm a Cancer. So Leo, but then my sun is in Leo and my moon is in Cancer. So I fight myself every day. I want to stand up, but I want to sit down, but I want to do this, but I want to stay home. Like I marry that. And then when I related to it, because the teacher said, there's also sometimes you need to be more Leo or you need to be more Cancer. And I have that too. I have like very different elements of my life.
Fire and water.
Yeah, fire and water.
You can't get, but fire and water doesn't mix, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm going to get even crazier. I have a lot, I don't know what, but a lot of planets in Scorpio. So I'm a lot of water. A lot of water. So I'm fire is like a sun. And so I have like also the intensity of a Scorpio in the emotions, but I also have a very sensitive side. It's just very
no, it's amazing. I'm telling you, God designed us so amazingly, mm-hmm. and he'll take all these disparate different types of energies, and you're here to bring them all together to utilize. And it's true, sometimes for different things, you might have to focus more on different parts of you, on your Leo side or on your Cancer side, depending what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with. But ultimately, really, it's about all working, learning how to make them all work together harmoniously. That is the key. And there's a reason why you have every one of those energies. You need the Scorpio energy, you need the Cancer energy, you need the Leo energy to do your purpose. Your ultimate purpose is going to combine everything.
Yeah. And that's when I find, because I've had the moments and more so the more work, self-work you do, that aligned feeling, it's super connecting. And I feel then now with what you're saying, that is because all your parts are probably, you know, syncing together and balanced. So for example, even like the Leo energy are very like loud and like seamy, and that probably takes a little step down where you're still being seen, but then you have like the soft side, the sensitive side. Like I could see how that all can be balanced more. And that's that feeling of alignment. And I actually was speaking to someone else and she's actually also on the podcast. It might've even come on the podcast or like I'm going to do with you. I end up talking to you guys after also, cause I get so curious about myself. But, she was also referencing even more so that let's say we were talking business and I do counseling and I'm shifting a bit more into working with people through food, but focusing on healing and like the emotional or energetic aspect of that with food and weight, reaching their ideal weights. Cause over 15 years, I see the blocks. I like see it. I can't take it anymore. I can't, it's my own practice. Like, I don't want to do it. If you want to work with me, we got to move it over because that's really how you get to the true changes. And that's what I want to help people with, like healing and true like sustainable changes, even if it's with their weight. So, which I'm sure you know is so much more than that. Now, what she said is like, I was holding on to kind of how I was doing my old practice, insurance, this, that was just super limiting and I was draining me. She's like, you are your best and people are coming to you when you're in full alignment. When you start feeling off, that's it. You have to say no. And the more you learn about yourself and accept yourself, and love the parts of yourself, you start to feel that sensation that something's not right. Like that, I know I have crazy intuition, but if even someone who doesn't have such an intuitive sense would feel like something's off. And something off means that's not aligned with you.
1,000%. There's no question about it. You know, we really have to check it. That's the thing. We're always taught, we're stuck in it. This is like, I compare it to the caterpillar and the butterfly. You know, a caterpillar has no concept that it can fly. It's limited. Its experience has never been that it can fly. It feels like I need 28 legs just to walk. So we're sometimes so stuck in what we think this is the way it has to be done. This is the way other people do it. This is the way I've always done it in the past. So I can't step out. And we start seeing one of the signs when it's time to step out, when you're not enjoying it, when you're not loving it, when you're not feeling you're at your best, when you're not feeling free to do it, what you want to do. that's the time to take that leap, to have the courage and step out of that and do the thing the way you want to do it, the way you feel most comfortable. And there's no such thing. It's going to flow. It's going to fly. It's like what you're saying. When you're in alignment, everything flows. Everything goes. Like the door opens. Like you don't even have to have it all figured out. You just take one step and the next steps appear before you. Like literally.
Yeah.
Just be in alignment. But the big key is what you said. You have to love yourself. You have to believe truly that you're here on a mission from God, bishvili nivra olam, that it's worthwhile, that the world was created just for me. That's how powerful I am, not because of my ego, because I'm on a mission from God. He gave me skill sets. He gave me abilities. He gave me the ability to touch people's lives, to uplift people, or whatever it is that your mission is here to do. It's so powerful, you have to fully believe in it. If you don't fully believe, it can't be just in your head. It has to be in your kishkas, in your gut. You have to really truly believe it, and then nothing can stop you.
Yeah,
nothing can stop.
But what you're also even saying, like what you referenced before, because I know I have this element, again you'll explain this to me later, but of like a self-worth thing going on in the chart. So meaning it's something I feel that the awareness helps you understand that it might be there. Like you kind of not let it lie. There's work you can do around it, but you're not looking to like extinguish, or you're understanding this is a part of you that you have to work through and with. So how do you take the chart? And then let's say someone wants to take a step to making changes in their life. Like how do they utilize what they might learn and put that into action?
So I think the biggest thing is when a person sees themselves. So first of all, that self-doubt, like when I go through and I show them the self-doubt in their chart, that this is part of their process, and it's not a truth. And I show them the truth in their chart, their ability, their gifts, what they're here to do. And like what? I'm here to, yes, you're here to do that. You're here to be amazing. Yes. And it's not just me showing, I show them the birth chart. You were born with it. The moment you were born, it's imprinted in the universe. Yeah. It's here. And so once a person sees that, and I make them very aware and conscious of the negative voice. And so that self-doubt, they're able, now they have a tool. They have the ability to counter it, to not listen to it. My favorite thing, honestly, when I do chart readings is a couple of weeks later, I've had this happen numerous times. People call me up. I quit my job. I'm following my dreams. Up until now, I didn't think I would be good enough. If I want to be a life coach, who's going to hire me? There's so many out there. Why? And this gave them the push, the ability. Wait, this is who I am. Yes, the negative voice in my head. Okay, I know not to listen to it anymore. Boom. That's my favorite thing. That's what I love. So really, it's really about, you know, and you know, we know it. It's not like we don't know we have those abilities, but again, it's the doubting, but maybe not, and maybe, you know, there's other, but deep down we know it, we feel it. So just when you give that space to grow and you're like no longer listening to that voice, oh, that's that voice. I'm not going to listen to it. Wow, that frees you up. So it's so like practical that it can just literally the next day your life has changed. And by the way, I insist that people record the chart reading that I do for an hour, because there's so much that comes out. There's so much information. And every time you have that doubting voice, re-listen to it. Mm-hmm. You know, that can be your mantra. Like, no, you have to believe in yourself and look at that power. You're here to do an incredible thing. You can't stop a tree from growing. You're meant to grow. Mm-hmm. Just get out of your own way. That's their only job. And healing. And look, and this stuff, I'm not saying it's not, you can't just snap your fingers. It depends where you are. We have trauma, we have wounding. So there's a healing process that we have to go through. But being aware of it and knowing, seeing a big picture pathway, so helpful.
Helpful. It's even directing in the path of healing. So because also healing, or let's say people are referencing that you want to go for therapy, whatever. Let's say you feel very overwhelmed in that because you feel like there's so much wrong with you. A chart reading could also help direct you into like, this is something here, and this is where you should kind of like put your focus and working on.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. There's certain things that I get so excited when I see it in a chart. For example,
it's Jupiter.
It's Jupiter. Uno. That's right, today. But this is, so it happens to be in my birth chart. I have Jupiter connected to my moon. So I can always get excited. Okay. But now it's my moon and my sun. So I'm doubly that way.
Right.
But for example, if I see in somebody's chart that they have Neptune connected to Venus. So Venus is the right brain and it encompasses a lot. It's our intuitive side. It's also our creative side, you know, in addition to being our self-value side. So Venus is a very, you know, complex process, you know. Mm-hmm. And when Neptune connects to it in your birth chart, Neptune is about elevation and transcendence, and it's a window into the higher world. So you're tapped into spirituality, creativity, like in ways that other people are not. That's like a next level of creative ability. And so when I see that, I'm like, wow, what do you do? Are you an artist in some way? What do you do? Like, yeah, no, I know I can do some, but I'm probably not good. I'm mm-hmm. like, what are you talking about? You have something that's so rare and so amazing. You were born to bring out your creativity, and you're able to, Neptune is about tapping into the collective. You're able to tap into what people want to see, what people want to hear. So you're not going to have to work hard to sell whatever you create because you've tapped into the collective. People are going to be running after you to pick up what it is. It's such a talent. So wherever you are, when I'm talking to somebody, wherever they are, even if they're early on, they're still struggling, just knowing that they have that, knowing that's another thing. Okay, this is something to work towards. Or if they're more advanced and they started working with it, you know, I just did one for an artist who had stopped doing their art for like 2 years, and like they just fell in these negative voices in their head. And I'm like, and I was looking at the chart like, wow, you're such an incredible artist that your abilities are out of this world. Like what? And like they started painting again after two years of stopping, but just understanding this is part of them and the doubts is also part of them. Like seeing both right. and being conscious and aware of it, it's can be life-changing. Literally life-changing.
I feel it gives people like a permission to themselves to do something, you know, or to honor. Well, like, first of all, you said, and I think it's very true, I don't feel that someone would have their chart read correctly and not feel connected to it. It's supposed to spark something in you because it is you. So of course it's going to, something about it, it's going to feel like I know this person, or this feels like who something connects, like how they say about a Jewish neshama when they hear something and the Jewish soul and like they wake up. So I think that if someone gets that feeling, that means they're on the right track. Like that's the good spark, so to speak. Then I think what we're saying is it gives you that like you're giving yourself permission to do something that feels right for you, that you had all these negative things telling you not to. So the negative things, and also then it kind of makes it more clear what it means, the concept of Yetzer Hara, which is like the evil inclination or the opponent or however everyone wants to call it. Now you understand the concept, because if we're talking about all these things as gifts and such beautiful things and your potential and who you can be, of course you're going to have crazy.
I tell people that's that Saturn Chiron voice, that negative voice. You're not gonna, that is Yetzer Hara talking.
That's what he looks like.
You have to shut that down. When you start hearing, oh no, I want to do this, but wait, catch it, stop it, shut it down. You know, that's Yetzer Hara. You have these gifts. They're right here. Do it. And also another thing, what directly addressing what you're saying, what people feel connected to it, because you know, we live in a cookie cutter society, you know, where everybody needs to fit in. Everybody needs to be doing the same thing. We're taught this is the correct way to be. But God created us all so individual and so unique and so different. We're not meant to be like everybody else. And the people around us, you know, our parents, they mean well, but, you know, they want us to be a doctor and a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with being a doctor or lawyer if that's what you're meant to do. But, you know, like there's a concept that everybody needs to be a certain profession or a certain... No, and I love that the birth chart is so acknowledging of who we are. This is who God designed us to be. Who's any human being to tell us not to be what God designed us to be? You know,
it's also so interesting because once you understand who you are and who you're meant to be and all the parts of you, it absolutely means that you attract different people that then you understand, oh, so like I said, there is this whole world that I didn't really know. And even in the more observant circles, we'll call it, still that world. So I would have never known unless I started accepting how I think of things. And now it's getting exposed more and more to me and I'm feeling even more aligned. So it's like you said, you can't blame anyone. First of all, your soul chose where it was going and who your parents were. So it's like we chose that. But that's whatever it was as a childhood or what you were taught, like all these therapies, let's say, and that's how I started my journey. Okay, inner child work and all this, which is all very important, but that's still focusing on what happened or you know, why you're quote unquote like this. But this element of the birth chart helps you understand that you're only feeling this way about yourself because of the opposite, you know, voice. And you can just not listen, like you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here, let me tell you another aspect of the chart that comes up a lot in the negative way. Mm-hmm. So there's something called, and this, not a lot of astrologers use it, or a lot of people not familiar with it. It's called the black moon. Mm-hmm. And the black moon, when it's connected to a planet, let's say to your moon, to your emotions, or to your Mercury, to your thinking, it's a three-step process. And this is something that we have to work through and overcome. So the first step is feeling like a victim, is victimhood. Now, this doesn't mean that you're feeling it, it's not happening. It does mean that you've been, might have been taken advantage of, you might have been victimized in many ways. And the issue is, at the lowest level of that, we feel that it's our fault. It's my fault. I must be bad. That's why all these things keep on happening to me. So the victim feels that they're to blame for what's happening. So that's the level one. And we have to work through that to get to level two, which is survivor. And that's when we get angry and we go, no, I'm not putting up with this. It's not my fault. You fight back against, you don't let people take advantage of you. You fight back against people who are trying to hurt you, right? So that's the second level of the healing process of going from it's your fault and you're bad. But then there's the next level. You're still, when you're in survivor, you're still in that paradigm of fighting victim and survivor. You're still in that area. So the third level is thriver. And that's going beyond the past and looking to the future to see how can I utilize my experience of being victimized and being hurt in certain ways. How can I use that as a gift to bring something positive forward in the world? So I'll give you an example in my own life. So in my younger days, when I was a child back in the day, you know, so I learned very quickly that just because somebody's a rabbi doesn't mean that he's always kind. You can also be cruel. You can also be wrong. They're human beings, right? So I learned from a very young age to not trust authority. And I felt like a victim in that sense. And then I learned to fight back and like, and then the next level of that, as I healed and I did my own work and I realized people are doing the best they can with the tools that they have and people are limited in some ways and they're not going to be able to give me exactly what I need. Once you learn self-acceptance and acceptance of others and compassion for their misdeeds and their things, then we move into thriver. So I use that gift that I learned through the painful process of learning not to trust authority to then, when people told me astrology is not kosher, I went and studied it for myself. I didn't trust the person telling me it because I don't trust authority. So I went and studied for myself and I was like, wow, I discovered not only is it kosher, it's super kosher. Everybody's recommending it. And so, and I went and I wrote a book about it. So I went and used that was initially something that was a victimization and a painful part. And I used that as a gift, as a thriver. So I'm not fighting that battle anymore. I'm giving everybody love and blessings. And I'm using that experience to bring something positive into the world. And we can all do that. We all have that. So, but those are some of the battles, the Black Moon, Saturn, Chiron. Those are some of the things that we have to work through before we can get to the next level.
Right. I think you're even adding a level to what I said, or maybe this is what you meant, but I'm hearing it this way, that it's not even just evil inclination. And I'm sure we don't mean that we could control what an evil inclination is, but you're saying that Saturn, Chiron, that even more so where they are is even stronger.
Yes, it's there. So, right. Yeah. So those traumas and those wounding, they weren't meaningless. They were there for a purpose. It's a painful. First, we have to acknowledge the pain, the struggle. It's real. It's really real, you know? But it was there for a purpose. It's there to help us become who we're designed to be. You know, Saturn on our moon, where our emotions are restricted, we learn to emotionally self-support ourselves. Why? Because there may be things in life we need to do, and we're going to need to have that emotional strength to really do that. So that difficult thing that happened in childhood is later going to serve us incredibly well. Oh. So everything, every pain, everything is there to serve us. It's all meaningful. But in the moment, it's very painful and we don't realize, why is this happening to me? Why do I have a... It's there. Let's work through it. Let's do the healing and you'll see how it's going to help you incredibly in your life.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And sometimes, honestly, the worse it is, you're like kind of forced into finding this or you won't survive. Like, so I went through a crazy divorce for 5 years and with six kids and... Oh, wow. And speaking of emotions, so there's a lot of emotion things going on in me. So that like broke me, you know. Also, I'm a nurturer and I'm a very loyal. And so broke me, like legit didn't know like emotionally, like how to regulate, like I was not okay. So obviously I had to learn how to be because I need to live. And the who I am now is like, first of all, I love my emotions. I love to cry. and versus being shamed my whole life. Why is she crying? Why are you crying again? You know, and now I'm like, and understanding them. And I always need to work at regulation, but I understand how to. And then I try to bring them, you know, in, like I said, in the positive. So, but I would never have been able to learn how to be so even keeled, learn what things I need to do for myself, you know, never. I mean, again, we're not saying here pain, not pain, wish it happened, didn't happen, it happened.
Right.
But
right.
I understand that I wouldn't have been able to learn how to regulate myself if that didn't happen.
No question. That's what makes our greatness. Honestly, it's going through the stuff and really feeling it. And then really also, you know, it what makes us great. And also what gives us incredible compassion for other people going through it. You know, there's nothing like it when we've gone through something ourselves to people can feel so understood when they talk about their stuff with us when we've gone through it ourselves. It's
for
incredible.
Sure. Yeah. And then you ask to see their chart.
Yeah.
You want to know more?
Yeah.
How it's going to help you. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So if we have to sum this up for a few points for people, let's say first, like being like, oh my God, astrology, like what is it? I thought that's for people in like a random location under a curtain. Like what could we share with them about astrology? Why do we feel it's important to incorporate that into their lives?
So astrology is the big key. If you want to understand life, you want to understand your own life, you want to understand your own growth process, you want to understand the different points in your life, where you're at, what you're here to do, where you are in the process of growth, it gets very specific. I'm telling you, there's something called a progressed moon cycle. And it's basically like a Rosh Chodesh, like a new moon. But instead of a 30-day process, it's a 30-year process. And when people are approaching, and it's for people, it's different times in their lives. And if you're about to approach a new moon, that means you're letting go of the last 30 years of your life and you're starting a whole new 30 years of your life. And so it's so empowering to understand that what's coming up and that what's ending because you think you're stuck in your life. No, God plants different points in our life to really, wow, you know, we might hit a crisis point, we might hit all the things and something in our old way of life is ending, and then we kind of feel lost. We might be in a liminal space. Now what? I'm no longer that old thing. Now what am I? What's my goal? What am I hit? So you feel lost. You start learning new things, you absorbing new things, and then you find your new direction. And all of this is outlined in astrology. So besides your own birth chart, understanding yourself, your struggles, your gifts, your abilities, what you're here to do in this world, your purpose. It really lays out what your purpose, your overall purpose, not the specifics. It won't tell you how to do it. Like my purpose is to help uplift people. It's not going to tell me specifically do it through astrology. I did it through, I worked in social services. I did a lot of different things in that area. You know, so it's not going to tell you the specifics that you're going to discover as you come along. But the general area of what you're here to do, it gives you that direction. It also gives you the timing, the major turning points, the major events in your life. Mm. It can show you when your authority is going to come to the forefront. So much information. Like, I can't understand why anybody wouldn't want to use this to help you in your life. Why wouldn't you want to? Because I have to tell you, life makes so much sense now. Mm-hmm. When you see the big picture of what's happening, it makes so much sense.
Yeah, and you connect to it. So it also feels aligned. So it feels there's no reason not to. I don't know either. Yeah. Well, if we could follow along, I know we want to, I want you to say what your book is again, how people could find you, how they could work with you.
Okay, so first, this is my book, Kosher Astrology, Jewish Guide to Celestial Wisdom. It's 500 pages. It has 75 pages of full color illustrations. I didn't want it to be overwhelming. So, you know, so for those who love to examine and read, it has all the info there too. For those who don't love that, it's like too much. I have 75 pages of illustrations that helps explain astrology and explains the Torah connections to it. So if you have any questions, whether or not, how does it work with the Torah or how deeply intertwined it is with the Torah, it's mind-blowing to how many. I have over 70 great sources that list specifically that talk about its connection to the Torah. So that's the book. Now, the book is not available in stores. It's only exclusively available on Amazon and on my website, kosherastro.com. You can go there also for to do chart readings. And I also have what's called roadmaps.
Hmm.
So, and these are hardcover books. They're 55, 60 pages that are personalized about your life. It's all the major dates in your life, the transits, the energies that are coming into your life to help you, the individuation, when you're going to be authentic and true to yourself, when you're going through transformation, when you're going through Neptune is elevation, when all of these different things are happening to you, they're very limited. Some come only once in 40 years, some once in 60 years, some are once in a lifetime. And that cycle that I was telling you about, the new moon, all of that information is personalized with your information. And you get this book in the mail that I think can be incredibly helpful to understand the process of your life.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure we were aligned to meet today, and I'm really hoping other people connect with it as much as I did. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Beth. I really appreciate it.
Don't forget to hit subscribe or follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Nourished by Beth, or listen on Spotify at the Secrets to Mindful Health podcast.